ain't losing track of which way I'm going. I ain't gonna double back, no. Don't wanna misplay, put on no display. An angel know, but I know my way. Oh yeah.
Oh. If you're in Escambia County, every street corner that you see of any significance is gonna have people panhandling. You go to Santa Rosa County and that just doesn't happen. They're just, people are not at the intersections.
I also think a factor is enforcement. I think that it is not as permittable in Santa Rosa County as it is in Escambia County. I mean, we have a slew of anti-panhandling ordinances that are on the books that I see being broken daily.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can't be on a median, you can't panhandle after dark, you can't aggressively panhandle,
right.
You can't step off a curb, and I see it daily, and, you know, and so the laws just aren't being enforced.
So that was me talking with Mike Kimbrell on Friday for The Wrap about the differences in Santa Rosa County and Escambia County when it comes to panhandling. And so yesterday I asked Sheriff Bob Johnson about this because, you know, the claim that there was a different kind of enforcement or maybe a different kind of law in Santa Rosa, I wanted to know more about that.
So we have a county ordinance against panhandling. And we enforce it aggressively, and that's why you don't see people on the street corners here. We do have them. They're transient. They'll come through, and they'll stand on a corner and with a sign, and one of our citizens will call. We'll respond out there, and we don't arrest them on the first time. We say, look, you're in Santa Rosa County. We have an ordinance against this. If you continue to do it, you will be arrested, and then they go elsewhere. I think it's just common sense that if you have a law and you enforce it, you know, vigorously, people are going to start obeying it.
Which, of course, raises the question, well, why then do we have so much panhandling in Pensacola and in Escambia County? And certainly we're going to talk about this with Sheriff Simmons coming up in a half hour at 7:35. But I did some of the research. You know, I wanted to know what is the difference in the ordinances. And so I looked them both up in Escambia and Santa Rosa. And I should say I looked all of them because in Escambia, it's kind of like two different ones. And, you know, in Santa Rosa, it's kind of one. But here's what I learned. Okay. I'll tell you what I learned. The first is that in Santa Rosa, the system is, it's kind of interesting. The first thing is you have to have a permit. And look, if I'm wrong about this, please somebody text me and tell me I'm wrong about this, but you don't have to have one in Escambia County not to just ask for money. You may have to do it for as a business, like if you're going to actually sell something. But even that, I couldn't find it. And so, I may be wrong about this, but the way it works in Santa Rosa is you got to have a solicitation permit, and the fee is fairly high. You know, it's $1 a day. I mean, that might not seem a lot to you, but, you know, that's $95 for 90 days. Now, you know, I'm certain that a panhandler is going to make more than $1 a day, but still, you'd have to have a permit. That's not the important part. The permits are exempted for political office, religion, food delivery, newspaper, stuff like that, obvious categories of, you know, you're not going to charge politicians to gain signatures and stuff like that. But here's the thing about this permit in Santa Rosa County. You have to pass a background check. No criminal record. If you fail the background check, they refund you your money minus $25 for failing the check that they had to run. So you can't get a panhandling permit. I mean, they wouldn't call it that, but, you know, solicitation covers all of this in Santa Rosa County if you can't pass the background check. And then the law says it shall be unlawful for any person to solicit or canvass from in or on any public roads, streets, rights of way, that's next to the street, medians or safety zones, including sidewalks in the county. So you can't do it in these places anyway, even if you have a permit. And getting a permit is hard, relatively hard. Now, in Escambia, there's a rule that says you can't stand on a median in Escambia County. Mike's right about that, unless you're just, like, crossing traffic and for safety's sake. But then there's all kinds of other prohibitions. The, you know, at dark, that's the same thing in Escambia. It's written a little bit different in Santa Rosa County. It's sun down to sun up in Escambia. It's 7 p.m. to 9 a.m. in Santa Rosa County. But then there's a lot of other rules in Escambia County. But then particularly it says you cannot do it when you are at a bus stop. You can't ask for money, basically. In any public transportation vehicle, that's on a bus. In any public transportation facility, that's, I guess, at the bus station. In a vehicle which is parked or stopped on a public street or alley. In a sidewalk cafe. Within 20 feet from any, how often that happens, I don't know. Within 20 feet of any ATM or entrance to a bank. Within 20 feet of a public toilet. Got to have a zone of safety around the portalette from any operator of a motor vehicle that is in traffic on a public street. So you can't stand on the median, you can't solicit from the median, and you can't ask somebody in a car. So that's like a triple violation. Provided, however, that this does not apply to services rendered in connection with the emergency repairs requested. Okay, so fair enough. But that's not what we're talking about. Within a half mile of any exit or entry ramp to I-10 or I-110. And then there's this long, complicated section about aggressive panhandling and another long, complicated section about community redevelopment areas and zones. And I'll just tell you, having tried to digest it myself, it's not clear. The Santa Rosa one is super clear. So the question is the law the problem? As in, is the law not adequate to the task? Is enforcement of the law not adequate to the task? Or is there some other factor involved here? And it might be, by the way, somebody had texted me in earlier and said the Santa Rosa ordinance is probably unconstitutional, just haven't been challenged. Maybe. I mean, you know, I am a civilian who reads the law. I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but I know especially Pensacola has run into problems in this regard previously. I think Escambia has had some of this issue as well, at least threatened lawsuit, if not actually litigated. So that could be. But, you know, it raises the question, well, why is this? In some places, you just don't have this problem. You know, when we go to, I'm thinking like Destin or going through Florosa or some of those, you just don't see this. You see it in Pensacola. You don't see it in Gulf Breeze. Well, why? That's a fair question to ask. So we'll talk about this with the sheriff coming up at 7:35. Right now, Candy has traffic on the fives.
And the good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays right now. It looks like everything is running at posted speeds, not showing any problems. It looks like if you're headed towards Crestview, you're going to see something on 87 southbound, it looks like. But other than that, as far as our area goes, nothing that's going to slow you down. Watching Johnson and Davis, it looks like that's completely open now. Spencer Field Road and Hamilton Bridge Road in Milton showing an accident. And then East Bay Boulevard and Old Bronxon Road in Navarre showing an accident. But again, all these places, you may just want to watch for emergency vehicles. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So we have an average advertiser on the show who's somewhat new, a couple of months now, Pro Health Florida. They have 7 different locations, locally owned, female owned locally, by for more than 35 years. They have been delivering health care to people all along the Gulf Coast, Santa Rosa Beach, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, Pensacola on Summit Boulevard, Pensacola on College Parkway behind the Sam's Club, and in Gulf Breeze next to the Whataburger across from Andrews. Perennially best of the Bay, best of the coast, best of Pensacola. And here's what they offer. Primary care and urgent care walk-ins from 8 to 4, Monday through Friday. And then Saturday is 8 to 1 at the Sam's Club location. They'll do lab work. They'll do occupational health screenings, drug screenings, employment physicals, that kind of stuff. Medical weight loss they do. And they have a ProHealth medical membership plan, which is kind of like an alternative for insurance. Or, you know, if insurance is too expensive or you can't qualify or whatever, okay, an alternative for that, $45 a month. The medical membership is $45 a month. You get unlimited primary care visits with no copay. You get a 24/7 teledoc, you get an annual physical, an annual flu shot, discount on lab work that's already inexpensive, and on procedures that's already inexpensive, and there's no catches. So find out what that's all about. If that applies to you or appeals to you and you just want another place to maybe investigate getting health care, prohealthfl.com, or just stop by any of the 7 locations all along the Gulf Coast.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you desire appreciation? Do you find yourself full of anxiety and frustration when you've served people humbly, yet it seems they've completely taken you for granted? Certainly, if you've served in such a way, people should be thankful and they should express their appreciation. However, it's unhealthy and unwise for any of us to crave appreciation from others. The fact is, people are generally consumers. They will often consume your service and move on to the next thing in their lives. The key is to serve others as unto the Lord. Do your service thoroughly and humbly as if you're serving God Himself. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Man's approval and appreciation is way overrated. And frankly, God's approval is way undersought.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more tomorrow at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions. things.
Bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, or the streamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/giftguide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore our innovative PCs like the XPS 13 laptop, powered by the latest Intel Core processors, plus this season's top accessories. Visit Dell.com/giftguide today to get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/giftguide.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is a big one. I'm dying. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
So there's 20 doors around her heart, black and blue, but she loves boys. I tore my knees up, get 10 teeth, because I need it.
3-2. Here he comes. Riley in the air to left field. On the run, Marsh. There it goes! Austin Riley has given the Braves the lead in the eighth. As clutch as it gets. Austin Riley puts Atlanta up 5-4.
There you go, taking the lead last night over the Phillies late eighth inning. And then you get into the ninth inning and you get a guy on third, and the Braves fans are getting pretty nervous because the Phillies, that was a guy on third for Austin Riley. Excuse me, my mistake. The guy on first, you had Bryce Harper on first trying to tie up the game in the top of the ninth inning, and a deep, deep drive which produced one of the, well, it's a play you don't see very often. Let's just put it that way.
Most closers don't.
One out.
He deals a 2-2. Castellanos in the air to right center field. Harris is on the run. Harris at the track. He leaps and he makes the catch. Harper might be doubled up. The throw gets away. The throw to first. It's over. It's over.
So Harper took off on contact thinking that this is the only way he's going to score. He doesn't want to get stuck at third with the double to the gap. So he's thinking, no way he's going to get that ball. Oh, he got that ball. Crazy catch in the outfield up against the wall, and then he throws it into like the shortstop. Like, I mean, it's understandable, you're just in a hurry. Gets it in, the first guy misses it, second guy picks it up, whips it over to first, and they double off Bryce Harper for the win last night. Fantastic finish to a baseball game. 7:23 on News Radio. Congratulations, Braves fans. And nobody threw any cans, so good for that. 7:23.
Yeah, that didn't happen yesterday in the studio, though, did it?
It's funny. We're talking about the Braves fans throwing the cans on the field. They don't throw bottles anymore because of previous, you know, there's no bottles in the stadium.
No, but one walked in and threw something at you yesterday.
One of my coworkers, actually my boss, is a big Braves fan.
Yeah.
And he came in and threw a Whataburger cup at me for getting on the Braves.
He told
fans.
Me to mind my business and get in the studio.
There you go.
First. I was like, Kevin, you know I can't do that.
The true Braves fan comes out. He's super nice all the time, except about that. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
A man's in the hospital after jumping into a reflecting pool at the 9/11 Memorial in New York City yesterday. Police say the man hopped a railing and jumped about 30 feet into the north reflecting pool. EMS personnel was able to help the 33-year-old out of the pool. He was taken to a hospital with leg and back injuries. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is now running as an independent in his bid for the White House. He was running as a Democrat, but told supporters in Philadelphia yesterday he decided to make a change. He'll begin his run in the spring against President Biden. And a candlelight vigil in support of Israel at the University of Florida turned a bit chaotic last night. There was a crowd of around 1,200 people on campus. Apparently, somebody fainted. That led for shouts to call for 911, and that caused a bit of a panic. And a stampede, and dozens of people were hurt, although none of the injuries were very severe.
Oh, goodness. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:25, News Radio 92.3, Candy has traffic on the fives.
I do, and it looks like everything is running smoothly right now. And then more stuff pops up when I say that.
I say that.
I know. Thanks, Perfect Game. No, Spencer Field Road, Hamilton Bridge Road, and Milton is still showing an accident, but looks like that is completely open now. Wallace Lake Road and Quintet Road in Milton, another busy intersection. Now, accident, but not showing a roadblock, so you should be able to get around that area. And then Gulf Beach Highway and South Blue Angel Parkway showing an accident this morning, but not showing a roadblock there either. Certainly is caution there, and caution wherever you are. If you're if you have traffic tips, certainly text them in at 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you paid a little extra, get your import, your Beamer, your Porsche, your Mercedes, your Genesis, Jaguar, your Lexus, whatever, you might think, well, you got to go to the dealership. You got to pay more to get it serviced, and you got to drive wherever that might be. And no, neither. Okay, you can get it serviced right here in Pensacola at Bobby Likas Auto on Davis Highway. They take care of those cars all the time. Diesel engines, same thing. You might think, well, that truck's got to go back to the dealer. No, no, it doesn't. They work on those cars too. And also, you know, gas engines, domestic. So I don't really talk about that a lot, but it's true. Those cars as well. Whatever it is, they work on it. And their idea is kind of to treat your car the way you should treat your body, which is go see the doctor periodically, right? Same thing for your car. Bring it in for the checkup when it's not broken for that routine preventative maintenance. And, you know, sometimes the mechanic can tell something's going on with that car that you might not know or might realize is a problem ahead of time so that it doesn't become, you know, the whole transmission. You know, like that's kind of the idea, is see it before it becomes a problem. Save you money that way. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. All right, I have a story that is... This is my favorite story from yesterday in the like weird and bizarre kind of category, but I think y'all will appreciate this. So you know how there's been all of these efforts to remove sexually explicit books from schools, right? I mean, that's a fairly understandable impulse, although, you know, how dare you.
Sexually explicit, but yeah.
Well, some of them are very.
I know, some of them
aren't. But okay, you know, and so, you know, all these different books, and what a lot of librarians are trying to do is trying to kind of get ahead of the problem, you know, before the public comes screaming for their, you know, heads on a stake. They just, you know, they're trying to proactively go through the collection and see what comes up with it. Which brings us to an Alabama library where they found what can only be described as the most objectionable, least dangerous children's book ever. So, Alabama.com reports that the book entitled Read Me a Story, Stella, is a book about a pair of siblings reading books together and building a doghouse. And you say, well, how could that possibly be objectionable? Well, at the Huntsville-Madison County Public Library, the librarians decided to do a keyword search for, you know, to look through all of the collection, whatever. And they found that this book deals very prominently with the subject of gay. The author's name is Mary Louise Gay. So it's right there on the cover. This book is super pro-gay because, you know, there she is. So, yeah, they flagged the Mary Louise Gay book for review and quickly realized that this book doesn't have any objectionable material in it whatsoever. But still, you know, one likes to be thorough, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I didn't call them yesterday, but I was kind of curious whether books by, like, Philip K. Dick. You know, he wrote a very famous book, you know, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep That Becomes Blade Runner? And you just got to make sure. You know, you got to make sure that everything in the library is safe for everybody. 729 on News Radio 92. Oh no, that's not true. I was just thinking about that story before. So
you
I
have
told
a gay
it.
Story?
No. I have a. It's one of those, like, now that I think about it, I'm not sure it's true. One of my best teacher that I ever had was a fourth grade English teacher named Kay Locker. But I think her sister was gay. Not was gay, but like
her
name was gay.
Right, yeah.
So that's just weird things. Anyway, doesn't have anything to do with anybody. Probably even who's still alive. 437-1620. When we're talking about the EAS and people,
yeah,
you know, getting outed,
sure,
for their phones and, you know, cheating husbands and convicts and
inmates.
And the Amish, there was a story about that. Oh, somebody had texted in two other categories. One would be, you know, kids who are dealing drugs and their parents don't know they've got a phone.
Oh, right.
Could be. Mm-hmm. And also, this is pretty sad to think about, and I had not thought about this, is abused women who secretly have a phone for help just in case, and then you know, so unintended consequences, right? 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Sheriff Simmons will be here in just a moment, and we'll be talking with him about all kinds of things, including panhandling enforcement in Escambia County.
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. More Israeli airstrikes hit Gaza. More than 700 Palestinians are reported to have been killed there since Hamas militants launched attacks in Israel Saturday. More than 900 deaths are confirmed in Israel, including about 260 people at a music festival.
We had to run away. Nobody really knew what to do. Some people laid on the ground. Some people ran away.
That's Maled Ben-Haim on Fox and Friends First. San Francisco police shoot and kill a man who drove into the lobby of the Chinese consulate building where people were waiting to apply for visas.
College student Tony Chin tells Fox 2 in San Francisco he and the others ran through the shattered door.
I turned back and I saw the guy was taking out a crossbow.
Five San Francisco police officers rushed in. Several gunshots were heard. The man rushed to the hospital but pronounced dead. No word yet on his identity or his motive.
Fox's Jack Callahan, police and the state department are investigating. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 59 degrees, really warming up and looking like a beautiful day here in Pensacola. The investigation continuing into a data security breach in the First Judicial Court District. Now, the court says the extent of the data breach is still being looked into, but court proceedings are now being held as scheduled. News release sent out today says the breach affected certain applications used by the courts, but they don't believe it actually affected the clerk of court records in any of the four counties in the First Judicial District. It's also unclear if any personal information has been exposed as a part of this breach. There was some discussion, but ultimately Santa Rosa County commissioners are going to keep meeting once per quarter at the Tiger Point Community Center in Gulf Breeze.
It's not too hard to ask. Every quarter we have meetings down here, and so that's not too much. I think it's it gives them an opportunity to get their voices heard without having to drive all the way up to Milton.
And that is District 3's James Calkins there. Commission Chairman Colton Wright says currently the audio and video equipment at the Tiger Point Community Center just isn't up to par. They are looking into what it would cost to upgrade that. Calkins also expressed some interest in having a quarterly meeting on the county's north end as well. Escambia County officials say they're looking into ECAT system overhauls there, and Mass Transit Director Rodriguez Kimbrough says over the summer they did a comprehensive analysis, which showed there's a lot, just too many stops and too many routes overlapping.
Taking the time that it takes to actually ride our service, currently right now to get from point A to point B, it actually takes about 2 hours if you wanted to ride our service. That's not normal transit.
And possible changes to the ECAD service would include removing some stops, possibly introducing what they call micro transit, which would keep bigger buses on the main roads and smaller vehicles in neighborhoods. There's been a settlement in a lawsuit over COVID data with the Florida Department of Health. According to USA Today, the Florida Department of Health has now agreed to settle a lawsuit that requires they provide more detailed COVID data. The settlement comes after a 2-year fight that came after the Florida Center for Government Accountability filed a lawsuit. They were seeking daily information about COVID cases, positivity rates, hospitalizations, deaths, and vaccinations. The FDOH initially refused to release that data. The department will have to pay over $150,000 in legal fees. Five people are hurt after a panic at the University of Florida during a pro-Israel vigil last night. University police say it all happened when somebody fainted. Somebody else urged others to call 911. That request was misunderstood by the crowd. That led to people running from the area and a stampede. In total, five people suffered minor injuries. And today's a big day for hundreds of thousands of Citizens Property Insurance policyholders. About 300,000 customers have to respond by today to letters they got from a private insurer about taking over their policy. If you did get one of those letters, you have to notify the private insurer if you plan to accept or deny their offer. Again, that deadline would be for today. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. Good news is we're not showing a lot of slowdowns or delays. A few accidents that have been cleared. I will tell you it's a little backed up on the gate to Pensacola NAS. It looks a little slow this morning as you're making your way on. It was backed up, yeah, past sunset this morning almost to Barrancas. Other than that, Blue Angel and Gulf Beach Highway showing an accident, but it looks like that has been cleared and moved off to the side. And Wallace Lake Road and Milton and Quintet Road showing an accident, but it looks like that's been moved off to the side as well. 437-1620, if you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We will have a cloudy day today with temperatures warming up near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, slightly warmer, temperatures near 66 degrees. For Wednesday, expect a wet day. We will have 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 75. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 59 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, and 52 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. From the outset of this weekend's Israel-Hamas conflict, graphic footage of abductions and military operations have spread like wildfire on social media platforms, including X, formerly known as Twitter. But disinformation on the platform has made it harder for users to assess what's going on in the region. Over the weekend, X flagged several posts as misleading or false, including a video purportedly showing Israeli airstrikes against Hamas in Gaza. Thousands of users saw the posts, and most widely shared posts were flagged as misleading by the platform. But dozens of posts with the same video and caption were not flagged by X's system. The patchwork enforcement comes days after X made cuts to its disinformation and election integrity team. South Korean chip giant Samsung and SK Hynix will be allowed to ship U.S. semiconductor manufacturing equipment to their China factories indefinitely without separate U.S. approvals. Previously, Samsung Electronics and SK obtained one-year waivers from the U.S., which would have expired this month. That's Your Money Now.
Secret offers. Guaranteed returns. Over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Enjoy the food, music, and fun at the Pensacola Beach Chamber's Taste of the Beach, Saturday from 10 to 4 at Casino Beach. Visit PensacolaBeachChamber.com for more. Experience an authentic Italian festival with food, Italian music, and family fun at the Sons and Daughters of Italy's Festa Italiana, Friday and Saturday in Seville Square. See VisitPensacola.com for more details. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Taxes are too high. Spending is too high. Why did Matt Gaetz join Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and over 200 Democrats in killing the Republican plan to cut Washington spending and strengthen the border? Because Matt Gaetz would rather promote himself than protect taxpayers from runaway government spending. Conservative Republicans had a deal to cut spending by 8% and restore Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. The plan would have protected taxpayers and our borders. But Matt Gaetz killed it. Matt Gaetz spends too much time chasing TV cameras and not enough time working together with conservatives to rein in Washington spending. Call Matt Gaetz at 850-479-1183 and tell him to stop voting with Democrats and start siding with Florida taxpayers. Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Learn more. Visit atr.org/cutspending.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, get you any camera
have a county ordinance against panhandling, and we enforce it aggressively. And that's why you don't see people on the street corners here. We do have them. They're transient. They'll come through, and they'll stand on a corner and with a sign, and one of our citizens, a call, will respond out there. And we don't arrest them on the first time. We say, look, you're in Santa Rosa County. We have an ordinance against this. If you continue to do it, you will be arrested. And then they go elsewhere. I think it's just common sense that if you have a law and you enforce it, you know, vigorously, people are going to start obeying it.
So that was Sheriff Bob Johnson. We spoke with him yesterday. This is following up on a conversation we had on Friday on The Wrap with Mike Kimbrell, who is a local homeless advocate and runs the Washburn Center and the Satoshi Forest. And the question was, you know, why are there so many corner panhandlers basically at every intersection in Escambia County in the city of Pensacola that you can think of? And when you go into Santa Rosa County, you just don't see this. You don't see it in Milton. You don't see it in Gulf Breeze. You don't see it in Navarre, and you don't see it anywhere else in the county. Why? And so I had asked, you know, Michael Kimbrell had said he thought that it was a difference in enforcement in that county versus in Escambia. And Bob Johnson, of course, you heard him there say that they've got an ordinance and they enforce it and that works. And I've read the ordinance, and the short version of it is that the Santa Rosa ordinance requires you to have a solicitation permit, which costs you about $1 a day, but you got to pass a background check. If you fail the background check, you don't get the permit. And then it bans everything, including sidewalks, meetings, which Escambia's does as well. But so the question I have for Sheriff Chip Simmons, we'll talk about this with him in just a second, is, you know, is this an enforcement issue? Is it a resources issue? Is it a, well, our law is not adequate and should be changed? Is their law problematic and maybe unconstitutional? You know, what's the explanation? I just always like, you know, can we learn something here that can maybe make our situation better? Sheriff Chip Simmons is the sheriff of Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back, as always, to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good. Good to have you. So welcome to the big setup.
Pep club.
Yeah, right. So you heard what Sheriff Johnson said and kind of my short version explanation of it. But what's going on here? What do you want to say about all this?
Well, you know, I don't usually discuss other jurisdictions' ordinances, and I have not studied their ordinances. I can tell you that the ordinances that we have currently in Escambia County are similar to ones throughout the state of Florida, and they are, as I understand it, all under constitutional challenge. We're not aware of any ordinance in the state of Florida that you can just prohibit panhandling from a sidewalk.
So even
the
Escambia's is
a public forum.
I'm sorry, Escambia's is under
Escambia's
challenge
is,
right
yes,
now. Okay.
In fact, my legal team and the county's own legal team feel there are some problems with the ordinance, and they're based on this constitutional challenge.
Got it. Okay.
I will tell you that if there was an ordinance that we could enforce, we would certainly enforce it. That would make my life a lot easier. We are working with the county. I've been talking with some of the commissioners about maybe strengthening some of our ordinances within these constitutional guidelines.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is a sidewalk, county property is the people's property. And these are locations where you have the First Amendment right of speech. And holding a sign is a right, is a figure of speech. And so we are not aware, again, of any ordinance throughout the state of Florida that will prohibit panhandling. If it's content-based.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's just, you can't do it, but you can do it. Those are problematic for us. And again, I think that if someone were to say that we're just not enforcing an ordinance, the only reason we would not enforce an ordinance is because it's unconstitutional. And it would cause the taxpayers of Escambia County lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit.
So let me kind of walk through that just a little bit, kind of checkmark some things. So it's not a lack of will to reduce panhandling as a bother, nuisance, whatever, if it were possible to do so, you would enforce an ordinance that was constitutional.
That's correct.
It's not a lack of resources. You have enough manpower that if you had an ordinance that you could enforce, you would enforce it.
That is correct.
Okay. And it's, as far as you know, not a defect in the Escambia County ordinance. In fact, if any, it's not that the Escambia County ordinance is not robust enough. If anything, the Escambia County ordinance itself has some constitutional flaws, and because of what's going on with the lawsuits and other things, may have to be weakened is the word I would use, but I don't know if you love that term. But even the Escambia County ordinance, less robust than the Santa Rosa one, is not probably constitutional as it stands.
Well, I've not looked at the Santa Rosa County ordinance.
Okay,
I'm just telling you that I am not aware. Nor is my legal team, and all the conversations that my legal team has had with legal counsels throughout the state of Florida,
yeah,
and really throughout the Southeast and probably the whole country, we have scoured looking for ordinances that would say you can't panhandle on the sidewalk, you can't do this. I believe the city of Pensacola is doing the same thing, and they're struggling to find a constitutional ordinance, just like we are. And I'm just saying, I am not aware of an ordinance that will allow that you can create to say you can't panhandle.
So there's no magic ordinance that.
Yeah, I would imagine there would be communities all over the state and all over the country that would have that, and that would be a quick and easy fix. But if you look around at what's going on in the state of Florida, I think that you'll see that there's panhandling in areas that are fighting that same type of a constitutional challenge. Mm-hmm. And I'm not aware of an ordinance that allows us to do that. And our own ordinance does not allow us to do that.
The one part of theirs that seemed different was the requirement for the solicitation permit that you then have to go through a background check in order to get. And if you don't pass the background check, then you don't qualify for a permit to do any kind of solicitation. But there are some exceptions to that, like political canvassing, delivery of newspapers, delivery of food services, and, you know, charitable donations. That seemed to be what made their ordinance more robust. Is that scheme problematic, or I don't know how to make sense of kind of what he's telling me and what you're telling me. I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not a lawyer.
Sure.
All I can tell you is what my legal staff tells us, and if it were that simple, then we would have that ordinance.
Okay. Okay. Well, fair enough. So it sounds like, maybe Santa Rosa needs to look at their ordinance, or the courts need to make
not,
a clear
again,
ruling.
I'm not judging their ordinance.
Right.
And I hope that...
But the short takeaway is it's not a lack of will, nor is it a lack of willingness to enforce.
It's a lack of a constitutionally strong...
Valid.
Invalid ordinance. It is not the fact that we don't have an ordinance that we can enforce.
Okay, and as you say, the city of Pensacola has been struggling with the same exact... Okay, no, that's fair. That really helps. We'll come back to Sheriff Chip Simmons here in just a second. Candy's got traffic on... I was really hoping that maybe all we needed to do was pass the Santa Rosa law in Escambia County. I mean, that's what I was hoping that was. Naive though I am. All right, Candy's got traffic on the 5.
Sounds like you're trying to start a fight. Blue Angel.
I'm trying to solve a problem.
Okay.
And, you know, so
no,
anyway,
no, no, no.
Go ahead.
As far as we going on to Pensacola NAS, the front gate is a little backed up past Sunset this morning. Blue Angel and Gulf Beach Highway showing an accident, but not a roadblock this morning. Gulf Beach Highway and Navy Boulevard, there is a roadblock in that area. So use caution there, and that might tie in with the front gate. Maybe that's why stuff is backed up quite a ways, but you can see the roadblock there. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We don't get to say this an awful lot, but I think other than some fairly proactive things, there hasn't been a major incident. Been relatively quiet in terms of big newsworthy bad things. The things that mostly happened is you had, not your choice, but the state attorney upgraded the charges in the Luna Lane shooting.
Right.
And that's not you guys. That's the state attorney's office.
Yeah, I'm not aware if they did or not.
Yeah, okay.
That's their prerogative. Yeah.
And then you got this big drug and money bust, which is a guy had a lot of money, a bunch of marijuana, and some other things, right?
Yeah, we were working with Baldwin County Sheriff's Office, and they had some information, and we worked with them. We ended up doing a couple of search warrants for some storage units, and we seized 191 pounds of marijuana, 14 grams of fentanyl. What the recent trend is to mix fentanyl with marijuana and mix fentanyl with a number of different things. We've made some seizures over the past couple of months that that has that element into
it. So even I just want to make sure people heard that. I had heard this from other sources, but I don't think I'd ever heard you say it, that you are in fact finding on the street marijuana laced with fentanyl.
That's correct.
Ugh.
A lot of times they'll do marijuana, they'll lace it with a number of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we think is going on here. The total amount, we seized 191 pounds, as I mentioned, plus 14 grams of fentanyl. The total amount was 221 pounds of marijuana and over $100,000 cash when you combine the Baldwin County seizures with the Escambia County seizures. So, yeah, that's a lot of dope that's taken off the streets, and the suspects will be charged here as well as in Baldwin County.
Did you say they were in a storage shed?
They were in two storage sheds.
Well, no, it's just stupid. it's stupid anyway, but my gosh, man.
Well, you know, where don't you look, you know? And
well, that makes sense.
You know, just as long as you pay your monthly bill, right?
Books and
that's right. And,
I suppose they didn't want to have it in
Grandpa's
their own
stamp collection.
Right.
To
use a storage I hear it now.
Well, there's storage buildings all over the place. They're popping up everywhere.
I hadn't noticed. You say there's people building storage facilities in Escambia County. Interesting. I'll have to check into that. Two things, actually. One is you guys have now started pardon me if I'm late to the story, but you guys have now started the mental health co-responder unit, which had I think is already kind of in place in Pensacola, but you guys are adding this now as well. Is that right?
We got a grant about a year ago for this co-responder unit. What we were wanting to do is to combine that with our own mental health unit. We have, again, probably 2-3 years ago, we started a mental health unit, and it would have two components. One was an internal component where we could provide services, mental health services to our own employees.
Right.
The external component, we thought, let's look for a grant and see if there might be something we can get. Well, we were awarded a $550,000 grant for 3 years, and it is a co-responder model. It is a sworn deputy with a mental health clinician from the Lakeview Center. So we partnered with them to get the grant, and now the first 109,000 or a little over 100,000 dropped or became available to us, and now we're starting to get the deputies that are interested in this type of program.
So, okay, I'm going to make a terrible comparison, but I just want to make sure I understand how the program works. I'm thinking of like canine units, where most deputies don't have a canine, but then you have special canine units that ride with the deputy.
Right.
And this would be like a mental health would ride with the deputy so that you'd have this one mental health responder available on a shift. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, the plan is to have three different units, and each unit will have one deputy and one mental health clinician.
Got it.
That will go out there. Now, their schedule will be flexible. So, again,
when they're available kind of thing. Okay,
We've just to give you an idea of the number of mental health complaints we have over 700 Baker X this year alone.
Wow.
So that's not counting the ones that we go to, mental health complaints that we go to that aren't resulting in a Baker X. So we're going to have probably around January we'll start to put them on the street. We'll have a deputy with a clinician, and if a call comes out that's mental health related, then that unit will go instead of a patrol deputy. So this will theoretically free up the patrol deputy to answer 911 calls and other calls for service. We think that this will provide the best service for those with a specific need. It'll give us a chance to spend a little more time with the individuals that might have a mental health concern. And also, we'll get to know these individuals. And, again, having the clinician with us is basically the gold standard to where we're going to go with law enforcement in the future.
And it sounds like, I mean, if 700 Baker Acts, you got to figure at least that many that don't wind up being a Baker Act, and probably more than that. So you're starting to talk about 4 or 5 incidents a day.
Oh, easy. Yes.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay. So that's really a lot. It sounds like you're going to need more than just, you know, the one or the couple. So, but that, it's a great start. I love it. And of course we have kickball coming up a week from Saturday at Wahoo Stadium where
we get to
play some kickball, have some fun and have a good time. And everybody's going to be sore the day or two after. That's the way that for a week after.
Again, I jokingly, talk about it and talk about me, stretching more than I play because I don't want to, pull any muscles
right
out there. But yeah, our second annual Battle of Pensacola is going to be not this Saturday, but next Saturday at Wahoo Stadium. Gates will open more or less at 8:00. The game will start at 9:00. And then we have a little bit of a surprise, that we'll be announcing here shortly at the end of that game.
Look at you building the drama.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I wouldn't expect the president to be here. I'm just telling you, it's a bit of a surprise. But it's pretty good. You've seen the list. If you haven't, you can go on our foundation page, Escambia County Sheriff Foundation page. They talk about Team A and Team B, and then we spun the wheel to decide who's on what team. And I think you're on Team A,
A, I believe. Yeah.
Are you guys on the
I'm
same
on team?
Team
B. No.
Yeah, no.
No. Cool.
No, I think not there.
That's the way the wheel spins.
So just like last year.
My big takeaway from this, though, is Sheriff Chip Simmons could not confirm that President Biden would not be playing in the game a week from Saturday.
I can confirm he's not going to play in the game.
Oh, well, see, we were trying to build some drama there. All right. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
754 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of health care. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night starting at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's the last month to bring out a blanket and lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Crosstown, playing a little bit of everything, including classic rock and blues. Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Crosstown.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Y'all remember when synthetic drums were cool? Neither do I. 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for us.
I know.
Candy.
I'm sitting next to a real percussionist. This is exciting. As we take a look around, Blue Angel Parkway and Gulf Beach Highway showing an accident this morning, but it looks like that has been cleared and moved off to the side. Gulf Beach Highway and Navy Boulevard, it looks like there could be a roadblock in that area. And certainly use caution in that area. It looks like it is a little backed up as you're heading eastbound on that road. Thank you.
That road east?
Thank you. You're such a good help. I'm just kidding. Borinquis Avenue. See, this is what I'm saying. I'm training somebody to help do traffic. They should
Every
have got
bit
somebody
as snarky
that does...
as we are.
I know. That's so perfect. Quintet and Renfro Road showing an accident this morning. It looks like that is open now. Highway 90 and Woodbine. The roadway is open, but it is a little slow, of course. Southbound on Woodbine and East Bay Boulevard and Ola Broxson Road showing an accident. That's in Navarre. It looks like that has been cleared and moved off to the side. Certainly watch for emergency vehicles in all these places. This is 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Renfro? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, at least 11 Americans are among the dead after those attacks in Israel over the weekend. The White House announced that new death toll in a statement yesterday. Israel planning to start distributing assault rifles to volunteers in their border communities and mixed Jewish-Arab towns. The nation's national security minister outlined that plan in a social media post. And President Biden scheduled to deliver remarks today about everything happening in Israel. That's scheduled for noon today.
Yeah, one of the things that people don't realize, David, thanks so much for the update. One of the things people, you might have heard this, okay, but in Israel, what I saw when I was there, and I had known this ahead of time, is the teachers are armed and you have to have armed guards around the kids. So, like, you'll see kids, you'll be in, you know, Jerusalem or wherever, and you see a group of kids that are on a field trip because they're seeing the City of David, too. And you got one or maybe two guys there with a rifle accompanying them for safety's sake. What I noticed is the rifles weren't particularly modern. I bet they're more modern right now. I would just be guessing about that.
You're listening to